From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Michelle Norris. Anyone who's taken a high school geometry class has at least a dim recollection of the number called pi, or 3.14, which expresses the ratio of the circumference of a circle to its diameter. A new book sheds light on pi's lesser-known sibling, phi, or 1.618. Also known as the golden ratio or the golden number, phi explains the harmonious geometrical characteristics in everything from pentagrams to the petals of a rose. Astrophysicist Mario Livio heads the science division at the Hubble Space Telescope Science Institute. In his new book, The Golden Ratio, he shares his observations on phi. Livio says that as astonishing as this number is, it's really a simple ratio.
If you take any line and you divide it into two unequal parts in such a way that the long part is to the short, the same way as the whole line is to the long part, then this ratio of the long to the short is that number. If you look at petal arrangements of a rose or leaf arrangements in a plant, you find this number.
So when you look at the rose petal of the plants, you say you find this number. Most people would just see a flower. Where do we actually see that number represented in the rose petal?
If you go around the rose and you see where successive petals appear, you will find that the angles between them are determined by this number.
And how do we see this also in a blossoming sunflower?
If you look at the head of a sunflower, you will see spirals running one way and the other way. If you actually count them, the number of spirals going, say, clockwise and counterclockwise, the ratio of these two numbers is very close to the golden ratio.
And the golden ratio dates back to ancient times. There are those who claim that it was used in the design and construction of the Parthenon, of the pyramids.
Yes. Yeah, actually, I debunk some of those myths in the book. I mean, there are many myths about the golden ratio. So while it is true that it appears in very many places and truly in many natural phenomena, it is also true that there are many myths which I think turn out to be incorrect. I personally do not believe it appears in the Parthenon nor in the Great Pyramid, even though many books would claim the contrary.
This proportion is said to produce something that is visually or aesthetically pleasing. And I guess I'm just wondering about the universal appeal of a number like this, because beauty is something that, you know, as the famous saying goes, is in the eyes of the beholder. It's something that there's so many unique interpretations of beauty. So how is it that something like this is so universally accepted?
Well, what happened was that in the sort of late 19th century, a German psychologist by the name of Fechner started some experiments to try to look which rectangle is the most aesthetically pleasing to the human eye. And he claimed to have found that rectangles in which the length to the width is equal to this number are those that are most aesthetically pleasing. Now, since then, you know, many psychologists repeated these experiments, and I would say, you know, the results are mixed. But nevertheless, the notion that there, you know, is something like this made it into the arts, and many artists then started to use this.
You talk specifically about the Mona Lisa.
Yeah, well, the Mona Lisa itself, I'm not sure, but Leonardo da Vinci was actually a personal friend of one Luca Pacioli, who wrote an entire book called The Divine Proportion on the golden ratio. Leonardo actually did all the drawings for that book, 60 drawings for that book. So he certainly was very aware of the golden ratio. Now, you will find claims that if you draw a rectangle around Mona Lisa's face, then again, the ratio of the length to width of that rectangle is the golden ratio. However, personally, I would tell you that without any documented evidence from Leonardo himself that he intended to do that, and since nobody tells us precisely where to draw that rectangle, I find this somewhat dubious.
Are there examples where the golden ratio is specifically represented in art?
Oh yeah, there is one in the National Gallery right here in Washington, D.C. This is Salvador Dali's Sacrament of the Last Supper. There, not only are the dimensions of the painting indeed in a golden ratio, the length to width, but also above the supper table, there is this huge solid floating, it's called a dodecahedron, which the dimensions of which, and you know, its volume and so on, are very closely related to the golden ratio, and which Plato thought that solid represented the whole universe.
You note that many classical musicians were also mathematicians, and you find the golden ratio in their work. One that you mentioned in particular was Joseph Schillinger.
Yeah, Joseph Schillinger is an interesting character. He was a mathematician and a musician in the 1930s. Actually, Gershwin was one of his students. And he developed an entire system of musical composition which used these ratio and the Fibonacci numbers, which are related to this ratio, to actually determine where, you know, the notes come.
And the relationship between the golden ratio and this numerical sequence known as Fibonacci numbers.
Right. The Fibonacci sequence is a very curious sequence that was found by Fibonacci in the early 13th century from breeding of rabbits. He had some imaginary problem. But it's the sequence of numbers that starts with the numbers 1 and 1, and then it follows by each number being the sum of the previous two. So like after 1, 1 comes 2. After the 2 comes 3, which is 1 plus 2. After the 3 comes 5, and so on. If you go in this sequence long enough and you divide each number by the number before it, you get something that gets closer and closer to the golden ratio.
And let's listen to a little bit of Schillinger's work so we can perhaps hear the representation of the golden ratio in his music. As we listen to this, what are we hearing? Where do we see the golden ratio represented?
What we hear here is that the jumps from one note to the next are all in terms of Fibonacci numbers. You know, like if you count how many notes there are between one and the next one, they are all these numbers, 1, 2, 3, 5, the ones which I mentioned as Fibonacci numbers. And he designed this entire system to show how you can compose music by using these particular jumps in the notes.
You work with images of the Hubble Space Telescope in your everyday work. I guess you would say that's your day job, even though you spent so much time exploring Phi. Do you see this represented in your work every day?
Generally, every day does not appear, but it does appear in some things that we see. For example, there are giant spiral galaxies like our own Milky Way, which have this spiral pattern on them. That spiral pattern is actually quite closely related to the golden ratio.
You know, going all the way back to Euclid and his discovery of this, is this part of a sort of overall effort to make sense of our world?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it started even before Euclid. Pythagoras was the first who had this feeling that everything is explainable in terms of numbers. And, you know, what we are trying to do since then is do just that, you know, explain the universe in terms of mathematics.
All right. Well, you've certainly done a good job of explaining it for us. Thank you so much, Dr. Livio.
My pleasure.
Mario Livio, his latest book is called The Golden Ratio, The Story of Phi, the World's Most Astonishing Number.
This is All Things Considered from NPR News.